The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, a warning that our next conversation is not suitable for little or vulnerable listeners and contains references to sexual assault. According to CSO statistics from 2023, 4 in 10 adults report experiencing sexual violence in their lifetime. Now, clearly, it's an issue that needs to be highlighted, but is how rape is depicted on TV and in movies reinforcing myths around sexual violence? I'm joined in studio now by Rachel Morrow, Chief Executive Officer of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So talk to me about the myths. What sort of myths have you isolated and how often are they just getting it wrong?
Well, I suppose one thing to say is that where we get our information is really important, and it shapes our perceptions and our attitudes and our behaviours. And rape and sexual violence is no different. What sets sexual violence apart is that very few people talk about it. We don't talk about it at our dinner parties. We don't talk about it, you know, when we drop the kids off to school. But it is an issue, as you say, that affects 4 in 10 people in Ireland. But it's hidden. It's invisible. So we get a lot of the information around sexual violence from the media, from the television shows we watch, from films.
And this is where mythologizing comes in. I mean, if you ask someone, imagine sexual violence or a rape on television or on the big screen, and they'd probably say, well, she was walking down a dark lane. She, number one, it's always a woman, walking down a dark lane, and this guy jumps out.
That's always the case, isn't it? If we close our eyes and imagine a scenario, it's always a woman walking down a dark alley, and the threat is always from a stranger. But actually, we know in Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, and the CSO reinforces this, that actually it's far more likely that somebody you know is going to be the perpetrator. In Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, around 9 in 10 of our clients who've experienced sexual violence as an adult, the perpetrator is somebody who is known to them, often a family member. And the CSO says 7 in 10 people who report a crime, a sexual offence crime, to the Gardaí know the perpetrator as well. So actually,
you're more likely to be raped by someone you know than...
Definitely.
By a stranger.
Absolutely. And yet we have this outsized threat. We think the threat is from strangers, but actually we need to look much closer to home. And we, as you know, if you haven't experienced sexual violence, you need to be attuned to the fact that people may be in your life who are experiencing this in the home, and be alive to that, and not disbelieve them if they say that something is happening.
Now, we'll come to reporting rape later or in a moment or two. But the second thing I said, she's walking down a dark lane. Not always women.
Yes. Men experience sexual violence. In fact, 3 in 10 men in Ireland will experience sexual violence at some point in their lifetime. And I think that, again, when we view it just being a female issue, it keeps men silent. In Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, most of our calls, most of our clients are from women. And we really want to get that number up. And we really encourage men to pick up the phone and make a call. The scoping inquiry into historical sex abuse, a lot more men started to talk about what they may have experienced as a child. We got a huge increase in calls because of the publication of that report. But that doesn't mean that it only happened in schools and that it's in the past. It's happening today. It's happening to men and it's happening to boys.
Most people, this is another myth, most people report rape or sexual assault to the police.
I would love if that were the case, but actually 1 in 2 people never tell another person that they have experienced sexual violence. In their whole life, they will die with this secret. When it comes to reporting to the Gardaí, the number becomes really, really small. Only around 2 or 3% of people who've experienced sexual violence will report to the Gardaí. And that maybe speaks to the
point. Do we know why they don't report?
They fear of not being believed. The main reason is that they don't think what happened to them was serious enough. And maybe that again speaks to what they see in the media, that, you know, very violent assaults in the alleyway by a stranger. If their experience doesn't match that script, then maybe they won't go to the police.
Everyone who's raped or sexually assaulted is very upset and visibly emotional. That's another myth, you say, because some people are numbed by the experience, or some people think maybe the next morning that what happened last night was not really acceptable to me. Maybe I was raped.
Yeah. And I think that the visibly upset factor, and, you know, we have an expectation that the victim will fight back and there will be some kind of violent altercation. But actually, maybe they are just trying to get through the experience, stay alive.
I mean, there has been a wave of different changing attitudes. For example, the idea was you fight because you might lose your life. This would be in the United States. Mm. Then we had the idea of, no, you don't. You're better off just accepting what's happening to you so that you survive the encounter. But then came HIV.
Mm.
And allowing the rape to happen meant that you may be sacrificing your life.
Yeah.
So it goes in different phases, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The advice that people are given.
Yes. And I think that it speaks to the different shades of sexual violence. And exactly as you're saying, Pat, you know, our knowledge around the issue, it's changing all the time. And we need to become, as a society, more accepting of everyone's individual experience, because nobody has experienced exactly the same thing. And that's not to say that you should keep your experience to yourself because you don't think other people will understand. It just means that if somebody is disclosing an experience to you and you haven't heard about that happening before, we'd encourage people to reach out and call the National Rape Crisis Helpline.
Now, the legal system, both you and I will watch programmes like SVU on television, and it's all great. It's wrapped up in an hour over the period in the TV programme of maybe 3 or 4 days, and everything's done and dusted.
Yeah, there's lots of dramatic tension. The police always believe the victim as soon as they make the report. It concludes. There's always somebody sent to jail. But again, you and I have talked about this before. Unfortunately, that is not the real life situation. Very few people make a report to the Gardaí in the first instance. And then as the justice system progresses, people fall off that pathway.
So of those who start, how many finish?
We actually don't know the answer to that question. And it speaks to the poor courts data that we have in this country. What we'd love is some kind of like longitudinal study that would be able to capture people going through and how many finish.
And at what point they dropped out and why?
Yes.
We'd like to know that.
Yes, we would love to know that.
Victims can remember all the details of an assault perfectly. That's another myth.
Yeah, and of course, that's not true either, because when you're going through an instance of sexual violence, or maybe it's over a long period of time, perhaps, as you said earlier, perhaps in a marriage or an intimate partner situation, it's very difficult to remember all the different instances. But as you're going through the justice system, you're required to keep these memories alive, which again has an impact on people's trauma and having to relive it and remember rather than forget and heal.
And of course, one of the aspects of this, the victim is only a witness.
That's right.
The state is not prosecuting the alleged perpetrator on their behalf. The state is doing it because a crime has been committed. And the victim is a witness.
Mm. Yeah, and that can be really disempowering.
It's frustrating for people, yeah.
Frustrating and disempowering. I think that the victim impact statement has a really huge role and a sense of catharsis for many victims. But again, it's only a tiny proportion of people who get to experience that. And it's so dispiriting for people who do fall off the pathway or are pushed off the pathway before they get to that point. And again, going back to the media and that sense of conclusion that you get in Law and Order, that everything's tied up in a bow and that person can move on with their life. That is very, very often not the case.
Now, a myth which may not have been a myth in the past is that the victim as witness can be torn apart by the defence barrister and their whole sexual history exposed, da-da-da-da-da. Mm. Has that changed? Has that now become a myth? Have we got a better protection for the victim, aka also the witness? Do we have better protections?
There are
now
definitely better protections. There absolutely are. But the people who we work with speak, and I remember what Nikita Han said outside the court just recently, that it was a kind of a devastating experience, that it's extremely traumatic and re-traumatizing. So I think that we can do much better in the justice system and to treat victims as important people, I suppose, crusaders in society, that they're the very few who are bringing this issue forward. And I think that they deserve a huge amount of respect within the justice system and the wider society.
Now, another myth is that sexual violence is always physically violent, and therefore there will be visible physical injuries which can be detected when people go to the rotunda or whatever, and therefore they might be more readily believed.
Yeah, and of course that's not always the case. And if we go back to that point about the stranger violence, It's not that it doesn't happen. It happens in 3 in 10 cases who go to the sexual assault treatment unit. But the vast majority are by people we know, and that there may not be violent incidents. But I think that the important point is that everybody's experience is different. There may be violence. There may not be violence. It may be a stranger, but it may be a partner. And that we have to be aware of all these different nuances.
There may be alcohol involved. There may be drugs involved. There could be Rohypnol.
Yes, absolutely.
It could be coercion.
Absolutely. And I suppose we value the perfect victim, the victim who hasn't been drinking, who's sober, who's, again, come across a stranger in a dark alley, because it's easier for us to understand that. And we've all been brought up on rape myths. That is what is fed to us from an early age. And, you know, girls need to be careful about what they dress like, and are they wearing too much makeup? Do they have false nails? Were they drinking? You know, but actually, when we focus on things like that, we're perpetuating the rape myths, and actually all the responsibility always lies with the perpetrator, whoever that perpetrator is, and we need to stop the victim blaming and hopefully bring an end to all the rape myths that, again, are perpetuating this cycle of misinformation.
At the same time, you don't want to say to people, don't mind yourself. I mean,
absolutely,
everyone
not.
Going out, male or female of any age, nowadays, just be careful of what's around you.
Yeah, be careful and look after each other.
Now, catcalling.
Yeah, catcalling has got a lot of attention recently, particularly around women who jog and run. It's increasing. People are noticing that men and groups of men are catcalling, and that can have a real impact. I think that it's treated as just, you know, banter, and that, you know, women particularly should just get on with it. And sometimes people say, "Oh, sure, it's a compliment that, you know, that people are wolf whistling at you," but it's far from that, and it can be very intimidating and really impact on, for instance, what you might wear, whether you go running at all, you know, how you live your life. So it does have real world consequences.
So we hopefully have dispelled the myths, and the next time we're watching something on the big screen or the small screen, to just bear the in mind that it may not be in any way reflective of the reality of sexual violence. Rachel Morrow, Chief Executive Officer of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, thank you very much for joining us. And if you've been affected by anything from this discussion, you can contact the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre National Helpline, 1-800-77-8888.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.